The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha, or Parshas, or Matos and Masse. In the beginning of Parshas Matos, Moshe said to the heads of the tribes of Bnei Yisrael to say, this is what Hashem has commanded. If a person takes a vow to Hashem, or he takes a shvua, an oath, to forbid something upon himself, he shall not break his words. He shall not break his word. He shall not desecrate his word. Everything that goes out of his mouth, he should fulfill. So here we have the parsha of Nedorim and Shvuos, vows and oaths. The general principles and the particulars of this subject are many, and on that we have Mesechtes, Mesechta Nedorim, Mesechta Shvuos, large tractates in the Talmud. This evening we want to speak on the underlying principle, and we can take all Nedorim and all Shvuos and for our purpose divide them into two categories. Firstly, there is the neder and the shvuah, which this parsha is speaking about, where a person takes something which is muta, like something which is permissible, for example wine or meat, and he forbids it upon himself, or for example, he imposes upon himself a restriction, an obligation to be yeshiv b'tainus, to fast when one is not obligated to do so. And this is what is referred to as nedorim u'shvuah shel iser, nidrei iser, u'shvuah shel iser. And then we have a second type, which is somewhat similar, but it's different. And that's where he's mechayev himself, he imposes upon himself to do something which is a mitzvah. The first category wasn't doing anything that was a mitzvah. He forbade upon himself to eat meat or to drink wine, while there's no particular mitzvah that one should abstain from meat or wine, or to fast if the Torah didn't prescribe it. But then we have where a person accepts vows or oaths to impose upon himself to fulfill mitzvahs. Not mitzvahs that he is particularly commanded in, but mitzvahs that he is generally commanded in. For example, he says, Hare alai korban eila or korban shlomim. He accepts upon himself a vow to bring a sacrifice to the Beis HaMikdush, a sacrifice of an Ola or a Shlomim. It's a mitzvah what he's doing. Except he wasn't necessarily commanded at this time to bring such a sacrifice. Or, if he will say, that undertake a pledge to give some money to Tzedakah, or to give some money to this particular person in need. Or, for example, the Gemara brings in Masechet Nedorim Daf Ches, Omar Avgidol Omar Rav, Ha'emer Ashkim Ve'esh Na Perek Zeh, Masechet Zu, Ner Gordel Noda L'Lakei Yisrael. If a person accepts upon himself a vow that he will learn today this entire Perek, this entire chapter, or he will learn today the entire Masechet, or in a certain time, He says, this is neder godel, this is a very great vow. So there he's imposing upon himself mitzvahs, which he was commanded in general, but not necessarily in particular. Actually, the Gemara there goes into it even further. The Gemara discusses what happens if he imposes upon himself mitzvahs that he was commanded in, even in particular. Gemara brings Omar Avgidl Menayin Shenishboin Lekayim Es HaMitzvahs, and brings from Dovr HaMelech that said, Nishbati Va'akayimo Lishbor Mishpedei Tzidkecho. Dovr HaMelech in Tehillim Kuf Yutes said that I will take a vow to fulfill the laws, your laws, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's a question in the Gemara, because the Gemara says V'halei Mushba V'emid Maharshina, is already, the Torah has already imposed that on him. So this is a question. But where he undertakes to do mitzvahs, which in particular he has not been commanded, merely in general, so this is a neder godel Hashem Elokecha, this is a great vow or a great oath. And this is what is referred to by the Gemara and by Arishenim as nidre hegdish or nidre tztoko or nidre mitzvahs. So we're referring to two categories. One, where he takes vows and oaths to forbid upon himself that which is totally permissible to him. And secondly, where he takes vows and oaths to impose upon himself to do something which, if he does, is certainly a mitzvah, but the Torah has not in particular commanded him to do it at this, in this particular way or this particular time. In all of these vows and oaths, the Torah tells us, Lo yachil dvore, do not desecrate your words. Your words are holy. They must be kept. Kechol hayetzeh mipiv yaseh, everything that comes out of your mouth you must fulfill. That he is obligated to fulfill these nedarim ushvuos with a mitzvah eseh and mitzvah leisaseh, a positive commandment and a negative commandment. Now, the underlying principle that we learn from this, we're not referring to nidrei reshoim, to vows of arosho, of evil men. They take shvuos unedorim, they take vows and oaths in order lohora l'acherim, to do evil to others. They can undertake that they're going to kill someone or destroy something. We're talking about nidre ksherim, the vows and oaths of good men, which these vows are made either to do good to others, for others, or to do good for themselves. And we see that when it comes to the nidre isur, the Torah gave the person the power to forbid upon himself that which the Torah already prohibited. Excuse me. To forbid upon himself something which the Torah has not prohibited. Like we mentioned, meat or wine or whatever it might be. And this is what is known as a siyog or a achoka, or a precious yisera. This is what is known. Why should a person do it? What? Stam in the welt. Just for nothing, he should do that. So he's doing it for a reason. What is his reason? In order where he should place a siyog, a fence, a barrier, or he should distance himself from coming to do that which is forbidden. Torah said, this you're not allowed to do. So he's going to distance himself even further in order that he shouldn't come too close, and thereby he might do what the Torah actually prohibited. And when it comes to nidrei mitzvah, the type of vows and shvuos which impose upon himself, impose upon a person an obligation to do that which is already mitzvah, there again it's similar. Why is he doing it? Why did Dovid HaMelech say, Nishbati v'kayema lishmo mishpatei tzidkecho, that I take an oath that I will fulfill your statutes? He's already obligated to fulfill the statutes. So this, that he takes an oath to obligate himself, why is it necessary? So the answer is that he's adding another obligation upon himself. He's imposing a further obligation on himself, milbad, aside from the obligation that the Torah has imposed upon himself, upon him, in order to fulfill this mitzvah, or in order to fulfill this good thing. In other words, he's coming to strengthen the obligation that the Torah has placed on him. And in both of these cases we see that the person was given a power to do this, even though the Torah has not done it, and even though the Hachomim have not done it, even though the Torah did not forbid this to him or did not impose him to do this. We'll take first the first case. The Torah did not forbid him and the sages did not, but the person can do so. Or in the second case, he can add to that what the Torah commanded him. Another, he cannot add to the mitzvah itself what he should do, but add another obligation upon himself that he should do so. This is the underlying principle that we learn from the parsha of Nedarim Ushvuos. Now, this principle whether it's done formally, that means he takes a formal oath or vow, or whether it's done informally, because many times a person can make an undertaking, a self-obligation, without formally taking a neder or shvua, vows or oaths. Either way, this is something which many times is proper to do so. And we have sources for this. Let's mention a few. First of all, we have the Mishnah in the beginning of Masechet Ovis, that it states that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, they received all of the teachings of the Torah through Meisha, Meisha to Yeshua, Yeshua to Zkenim, Zkenim to the Nevi'im. And when it came to them, this was in later generations, this was before yet in the early times of the Mishnah, they wanted to strengthen Torah by Yisrael. So Hey Mamaru Gimel Dvorim, they said three great principles, Havi Mesunim Bedin, that when you give judgment you must be very, very patient and study the questions very carefully. Amidu Talmidim Harbe, you must teach much Torah to many, many Talmidim, many disciples. Va'asu Siog LaTorah, and it's an obligation of the leaders of the generation, the Sanhedrin, to make harchokas, to make a fence around the Torah in order to protect it, that the people will not come to transgress the Torah itself. Here it's referring, they are referring to siyogim, to such fences of the Chazal, the Chachomim, the sages should make. We have another source in Perek Gimel of Masechet Ovis, Mishnah Yud Gimel. The Rebbe Kiva says, Nedarim siyog leprishus, that if a person wants to make sure that he's doing what he should be doing, and he's not doing what he should not be doing. What is the greatest safeguard for this? What is the greatest assurance? He should make siyogim. He should make fences. He should make barriers. Because if not, a person will come to chip away at the Torah and the mitzvahs itself. The Dorim siyog leprisus, and vows are a very good barrier in order to protect one from coming to transgress the actual Torah. Here Rebbe Akiva is not referring to the sages, but he's referring to the individual. This above mentioned principle. Another source is what the Gemara brought before in Masechta Nedarim that we quoted from Dovra Melech in Kuf Yutes, Nishbati v'akayemo lishmor mishpatei tzidkecho. Now David said, I will take an oath that I will fulfill your Torah. And what did he need an oath for? To obligate himself. He's already obligated to fulfill the Torah. So we see, and the Gemara says, it's a great oath. It's a question, the Gemara, in that case, if it's a real oath or not. But we see it's something. Because sometimes a person needs more than the imposition placed upon himself by the Torah. He's got to add to that, not to the mitzvah, but to the imposition, to the obligation of the mitzvah. So therefore, David HaMelech said, I will take an oath to assure me that I will fulfill your mitzvahs. The Gro, the Vilna Gaon, in his Pirush on Ovis, in the first Mishnah, which we quoted, brings me droshim. Asu siyug le Torah kederek shosas Torah siyug le dvarecho. That the Anshei Knesset Hagdola, the Chachomim of the Great Assembly, where did they learn this principle from? That one should make barriers and fences around the Torah. Where did they learn it from? They learned it from the Torah itself. And they said, just as the Torah has made barriers around its mitzvahs, so the Chachomim, the sages, also are obligated to do so. Where did the Torah make barriers around its mitzvahs? See, he brings three places. We have three places in the Torah where the Torah itself made siyogim. One is, two are in Vayikra Yudches. Bel isho benidas tumosa ele sikrab. A woman in her impurity, the Torah forbade marital relationships with. But then the Torah went further and said le sikrab, that one should not even have any type of physical relationship with her that can bring one to transgress the actual prohibition. And again, a second time the Torah said this, ish ish el sha'ar b'sorei le'sikrovu le'galas ervoso. When it comes to physical, to marital relationships with close kin, close relatives, which is forbidden, so not only that's what the Torah forbade, but then it went further to say, le'sikrovu, that any type of physical relationship which can bring to that also is forbidden. Now that was not the prohibition, but that rather was a siyog. That was a gedder, a barrier to protect one from coming to the actual prohibition. And then the third place is by the Nozir, the Nazirite. He accepted upon himself not to drink any wine. And the Torah comes along and says, this is in Parshas Nosei, which we just learned recently, by Midvav Vov, Chol Mishras Anovim Leyishte, not only wine he shouldn't drink, but he shouldn't drink any mixture that comes from grapes. Mikol Asher Ye'ose Migefen Ayayin, or anything that's made from the vine, Mechatzanim Ve'adzog, whether it's the shell or the seed or the shell. Lo yechal, he should not eat. Now, the prohibition, actual prohibition, is on the wine. And here we're coming to Asher to forbid any mixture that comes from the grape, or even the seeds or the shell of the grape. So therefore we see the Torah made harchokos. The Torah made protections around the mitzvahs. And the Anshei Knesset Gedola learned from there is Asu Siog LeTorah Kemei SheHaTorah Oso Siog LeDvorecho, that you also should do so. This was an instruction to the sages. Now, since we see that this is a principle which is kosher and roi, what is the reason for it? So the Maral gives a number of reasons, number of levels of reasons. The Maral speaks about this on that Mishnah and Ovis, and then further on the other Mishnah and Per Gimel, and then also he speaks on this in the Siva Prishus. He says, firstly, we have to realize that the person is a balguf. He's not a balsechel, he's a balguf. He is a physical human being. His crown is the seichel, his crown is the intelligence, the intellect. But that's emet begufay, it's placed in his physical being. And therefore, if he would be total sichli, if he would be made up of only intellect and intelligence, he wouldn't make errors. But since his intellect is entrenched in the physical body, this causes him to err. This causes him to make errors. And many times, he'll become confused. And he'll see something which is permitted, and he'll compare it to something else which is really forbidden, and he won't realize that there's a distinction between the two, and it'll be madame dover le dover. He'll say, if this is permitted, then what's the difference between, if A is permitted, what's the difference between B and A? B is also like A. And he'll come to permit something, and meanwhile there's a great difference between the two, which is a deep chokhmah, a deep wisdom. But the person is not the essence of wisdom. He has wisdom which is embodied in something which is physical, which can bring him to error. And therefore, it was an instruction upon the sages. Asu siyog l'Torah. You must make barriers around the Torah, protective barriers, to keep the people from coming inadvertently to errors where they will transgress the actual Torah. From here, the Gemara learned in Masechta Yevamos, Daf Chof Aleph. The Gemara brings Shniyos La'arais. We have a great number of forbidden marriages that Yisrael were commanded on. The Bnei Nayach, the children of Nayach, were also commanded on forbidden marriages of close kinship, but a very limited amount of number. We have a great number. It was 15, 20, 21. Now the Chachomim went and they added some to that. And the ones they added were also close kinship, but which for one reason or other the Torah didn't forbid. And they call them Shniyos La'arais. They are secondary kinships. And the Gemara asks, why did they do that? So the Gemara brings Ilav Shniyos Poga Be'erav Bogufa. Because if they did not forbid those secondary kinships, then people would not understand the difference between those and others, and Poga Be'erav Bogufa, and they would come to marry the actual kinships themselves. The Gemara then brings a source for it. And they bring a further source. It's Asmechinu Akro. It's Asmachto. Mora brings a source where the Torah guided the sages to do so, as it states, Ushmartem es mishmarti, in Vayikra Yud Ches. Shmartem es mishmarti, my Torah guards you. You shall place a further guardianship around my Torah, which guards you. Now, the Torah itself is called Mishmeres. It's a structure which guards man. What does this mean? The Torah guards a person from getting hurt, just like you have on the roads. You'll have barriers when you come near a mountainside that you shouldn't drive off the road. You'll have barriers when you come near a bridge that you shouldn't drive into the river. You'll have barriers between the two lanes, so you shouldn't drive into the wrong lane, because heaven forbid you do, a person does, he can become seriously hurt. So the Torah was given to the world to guard man. It's called a derech. This is a derech. It's the way that a person should walk. And in order that we don't walk astray and get hurt, it was given to us. To the Bnei Noach, to the nations of the world, they were given seven mitzvahs. And those seven mitzvahs itself are seven barriers to protect them. Israel were given Tariyak, 613. And the Gemara brings at the end of Makkos, Shin Samachay, 365 negative commandments, because the sun has an orbit of 365 days. And that's why we have 365 negative commandments. What does one thing have to do with the other? So I'll explain, because the sun, what's his job? The sun's job is to guard the world. He's the Or HaGodl, the great light in the physical world. He's the kingdom of the physical world. And he guards the world. It's his magnetic force that holds the entire solar system in place. And he has an orbit. So he has a watch. 365 points is the cycle of his orbit. And he makes sure that nothing goes out of that orbit. Everything remains in. So just like the sun is the shmirah of the world, this is the job of a king. A government is supposed to guard society. So Adi Leisa says the negative commandments of the Torah, they act as guards and barriers for us, so we do not deviate from the way we're supposed to go. Then we have Ramach Mitzvah's essays, 248 positive commandments. That, the Gemara says, is correlates with the Evori Adam. See, the organs and major limbs of the person. And that's because it's not enough that we don't go astray. It's not enough. You take a tree or a plant, so you have to guard it. You have to guard it from the elements. You have to guard it from the insects. You have to guard it from disease. You have to guard it from the animals. You have to guard them from the birds. But after you have it entirely guarded, you haven't achieved anything yet. The tree has to grow, and the tree has to mature, and the tree has to produce. If it doesn't, you can guard it from everything in the world. It's not doing anything. So the same thing with man. The man must grow. The man must produce. He must bring forth fruit. These are the mitzvahs asays. These are the positive commandments which are given to him. Just like the physical body, after he's guarded, he was given all types of organs. and important limbs of the body that he can go and achieve something with. So this is why the positive commandments were given to him. Through this he gains milas. He comes to great heights. So therefore, the Torah itself is a mishmeres. In particular, the negative commandments. The Torah itself is a guard for the person. On that, it states, V'osu mishmeres l'mishmati, ushmartem es mishmati. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you shall guard my guard. So from here we learned that we should make further protection around the barriers of the Torah itself. And that's where the Chazal learned to, where the Torah asked, forbade the actual arayis, the close kinship. They added secondary kinships in order to protect the Torah itself. Now, this is the first reason why we need a siyog. We need these fences and barriers. Now there's another reason, and that is the person was created chosar. A man was not created as a finished product. To the contrary, he's created very raw. Ki ir pera odam yulad. He's created like a wild donkey. And from the aspect, from the perspective of his own nature, he's not mugdar at all. He has no parameters and no constraints. You take a little child, a boy, there are no constraints, no parameters. This is not the nature of man. The nature of man is wild. Man was not created at all as a finished, total, complete product, but rather in a very raw state. On top of that, he was given a Yetzirah, ki Yetzirah leva od debaramin uruf. And that Yetzirah, the Gemara says, he was given from the moment he's born, mishaninar, from the time he starts to move out of the womb. So therefore, he needs restraining forces. He needs constraints. He needs parameters. And even though the Torah are his main constraints and main parameters, this is good theoretically. But the problem is that by nature he's so wild, and the Yetzirah, this force, is so strong that if he comes too close to the actual Ra, to the actual Aveira, if he comes too close to that which the Torah prohibited, his nature and the Yetzirah will push him and entice him to go over the bounds, to go over the barriers. And therefore, it's not safe for him to be too close. It's like you tell a child, you don't tell the child, don't touch the stove or don't touch the fire because you'll burn your hand. Because if he's going to be right next to the stove, he might touch it anyhow. You tell him, don't go close to the stove. Don't go close to the water. Because a person by nature is not a person of restraints. And therefore he has to add that to himself. Especially when he has to deal with the Yetzirah that he has. So this is the second reason. First reason is mitzad hisechel. That his intelligence doesn't always lead him, allow him to see things properly, and he can make mistakes. And secondly, is mitzad his goof, that even if he sees things straight, but the enticement, the force, the lure, is too much when he walks right near the border. So he needs a little more space. Another great cloud, another very great principle that the Maral tells us in this, he says when it comes to distinguishing, when it comes to distinguishing between right and wrong, that's all mitzad seichel. That's all from the mind of the person, the intelligence. That's why in the Shemini Esrei, when we make Havdolah on Mitzvah Shabbos, so we make it in the Brocha of Ata Chonein Le'odem Das, that you have given person Das, Hashem has given us intelligence, and there we make the Havdolah, there we make the distinction between Shabbos and the rest of the week, because the Gemara says, Imein Das Havdolah Minayin. If a person has no intelligence, how can he distinguish? So the power of distinction is the power of Das. We are speaking here of distinction, of distinguishing one thing from the other, between the prohibited and between the permissible, between what is good and what is bad. So this is all from the aspect of the mind. Chaimer, the physical element of man cannot distinguish. This is very important. Man is made up of his intelligence and of his mind. Ofer min adama, he was made from the dust of the earth. That's the physical chaimer, physical matter. And he was given an efesh, nishmas chayim. He was given a power from above. The power from above can distinguish, but what is physical cannot distinguish, because the physical matter has no intelligence. This is why an animal is not able to distinguish between good and bad, right and wrong. It's impossible for him. He wasn't given that much intelligence. And he's basically chaimer. He's basically physical matter. He only does things which HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that he should do and gave him such a nature. So the nature forces him or protects him. The animal, when he decides to eat something, it's not because his seichel tells him that it's time to eat. And when he decides to eat, not eat something, it's not because his seichel has decreed that I shouldn't eat it. But that's his nature. Because Baruch Hu placed a nature in him which decrees that now he should eat and now he should stop eating. But Lilezeis, without this, he could not distinguish. Because the chaimer cannot distinguish. It is only the seichel that can distinguish. This is why we as people are far greater than animals, because we have the power above. But when we're small children, we're less than animals. Because I'll bring out, a little child you have to watch, a little animal you don't have to watch. A little animal, as soon as he's born, he's not going to walk into the fire. He's not going to walk into the swimming pool. Try to push him, he won't go. Child, you got to put up a fence around the swimming pool immediately. Otherwise, heaven forbid, he could crawl into it. You got to watch him like a hawk when it comes to a fire, to a stove, to medicine, to poison. Why is it? Because the animal was not given intelligence, but he was given a nature which helps him distinguish between what is good and bad, what will harm him and what won't harm him. And that nature he's born with. Man was not given that nature, because instead he has intelligence, which is far greater. But that intelligence comes later. So when you have a child that doesn't have that intelligence yet, then he can't distinguish. And this is why he needs a mother. Can't distinguish. He needs a mother all the time watching him. Otherwise, heaven forbid, he can harm himself. Now, so this comes to what we're speaking about now. Because man, he has the seichel, he can distinguish, but at the same time he has the chemer. He's physical matter. And physical matter cannot distinguish at all. Many, many times, the physical matter overpowers the intelligence of the person. And when it does, so then he's going to get into trouble. That's why if he walks too close to the line between good and evil, so the intelligence can tell him, show him the line between good and evil, but not always is intelligence ruling himself. But many, many times, it's the chemer, it's the physical matter of man that's ruling himself, and that no longer can distinguish between good and evil, and he can cross the line, and he can get himself into serious trouble. So therefore, he needs arachoko. He needs to move not enough to the other side of the line, but to move far away from the line. From here we learn that when it comes to averus, to wrongdoings, which involve the physical chemer of man, the physical matter of man, they need a greater hachoko. There you need greater distancing than when it comes to other averus. And it's interesting to note that in the three places we cited, that the Torah made harkokas. The Torah itself made barriers. They were by arayis and achilo. One was by forbidden marriages. Two cases were by forbidden marriages. And the third case, when it came to eating or drinking by the nozer. And those are the averas which are the most physical of man. There is the marital or physical relationships and eating and drinking. So therefore, those need the greatest harchoka, because they were dealing with physical man. They're the greatest force, and the greatest enticement is from the man, from the aspect that he's physical. And the physical cannot distinguish between right and wrong. This explains to us why the Chachomim, the sages, made more harchokas, more barriers when it came to averus shebiznus, the averus that had to do with forbidden physical relationships, than other areas of the Torah. They were more careful here than other places. And actually the Gemara is maramis. The Gemara intimates this to us as a Gemara Masechta Shavuos Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Eimer Kol Amavdil Al Hayayin B'Meitzei Shabbos. When a person is very careful with Havdolah, he's very careful to make a nice Havdolah, and he makes a nice Havdolah, and he makes it with a good wine. Havyin Bonim Ruim Lahero. He will be zeche to sons that will become great Bali Hairo, great Rabboni, great Bali Hairo, sons that will be able to give judgments in Torah, decisions in Torah. What does one thing have to do with the other? He's careful with Abdullah, so he'll have sons that will have be able to give good judgments in Torah. So the Maral explains, what is the whole purpose of the Havdolah and Meitzei Shabbos? To distinguish. Amadl ben Kedish Lachol, to distinguish between that what is holy and that what is not holy, that what is good and that what is not good, ben Olacheshir, between darkness and light. The power of distinction does not come from the physical man. There, to the contrary, physical man cannot distinguish at all. The power of distinction comes from the Seichel, from the intelligence and intellect of man. And more, it comes from the Gvuras HaSeichel al HaChemer. When the intelligence of man rules his physical counterpart, then he comes to where he can draw clear lines between what is good and what is not good. This is Havdol of Shabbos. What is Hayra? Hayra, to issue good judgments and clear decisions in Torah. Lahayres bein hatomei ubein hatohar. To distinguish between that what is pure and that what is impure. Bein ha'osir, bein ha'muter. That what is forbidden, that what is permitted. Bein ha'teva ha'ra. That what is good and that what is evil. So therefore, a person who can good distinguish between Shabbos and the rest of the days, and he manifests this with a good Havdolah, so his char will be Boni, sons, that their seichel also will be able to rule over the physical elements of man and also be able to distinguish between right and left, good and evil. Now, what we are speaking of, what we're referring to, the Chazal refer to as this brings a kedusha, this brings elements of sanctification to a person. When he distances himself from evil, this will bring sanctification to the person. The Gemara brings in Masechta Brachos, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Amri lob masnisotano. Bis kadishtem elomaim rishenim. Bisem kedoshim elomaim achrenim. The sages said that when we come to eat, we must first wash our hands properly. This is the mitzvah of Netilah Shadayim. We have a mitzvah to wash our hands in the way they commanded. Where did they learn that from? Because it states, "Vishkadishtam," you shall sanctify yourself. Then they instructed that after we finish eating, we should again wash our hands before we bench. Where did they learn that from? Because it states, "Vishem kedoshim," that you shall be sanctified. Now they learned both of these mitzvahs from the word kedusha, to sanctify yourselves. So the Maral explains, eating. Person eats with his stomach. Doesn't eat with his mind. He eats with his stomach. Eats and drinks. So this is a physical exercise. This is a physical function. If it's a physical function, then how is he different than a behemoth? Than an animal? An animal also eats. So Rambam is made a prokim. He says, heaven forbid you should equate a man's eating with an animal's eating. He says, many atheists did. If you come from Darwin's school of thought, it's the same thing. The Rambam writes, he says, Herpa hilonu, This is a shame and disgrace to us, to the human race. Animal eats, we eat. Animal drinks, we drink. An animal reproduces, we reproduce. He says, Herpo hilonu. Can there be a greater disgrace to the human race? This was Darwin, but he wasn't the first, there were others. Heaven forbid. But what we do are animalistic functions. There are billions of light years between what we do and animals do. Animal is a wonderful creature. You bring all of the chachmei, the sages say, bring all of the wise men of the world together, and they couldn't create one namola, one ant. But other man, he's the melech hatachtenim. He's the giant of the universe. He encompasses the whole world. So there has to be a difference. So what's the difference? The Rambam writes in a place in Yad HaZokor, he says a man should eat everything that his tongue and mouth desires, kibbehema, like an animal. Man has to eat with his seichel. It's not a physical function by man. By an animal it is. But a man must eat also with his seichel, with his spirit, with his intelligence, and with his soul. That's how a man must eat. So now, how can you compare one to the other? One is a physical function, and the other is an exercise in intelligence, and in spirit, and in physical. It's a different world. Now that's kedusha, that's sanctity. Sanctity is when you take something which is physical and you elevate it to far higher levels. Now, the Chazal wanted to help us to come to this. See, if we come to the table, why do we come to the table? We're hungry. You know, an animal also comes to the table because he's hungry. We sit down and eat because it tastes good and we're hungry. This is the same as an animal. So therefore you have to prepare yourself properly. Vizkadishtem, sanctify yourself first. Zumayim rishenim. And you wash your hands first. And you sanctify your hands. And you sanctify the eating. And then it states, V'yisem kedoshim, you should be further sanctified, Zumayim achrenim. After you finish, you wash your hands again. So they're clean. And then you come to Birchas Hamazon. It's interesting. There was a number of years ago, a man visited here. And he managed health restaurants in Chicago. So he told me, he says, when you buy health food or go into health restaurants, he says, beware. There's more defrauding of the public there than in your regular shops, say, your regular pick and pays and so forth. So I asked him why. So the answer he gave me was very, very coincidental. It's exactly what the Rambam writes. He says, because the shops, your pick and pays and everything, what are they selling? They're selling to the general public. Why does the general public buy these types of food? He says they buy it for only one reason. This is a man in the food business. Only for one reason. Because it tastes good. It tastes good, and the immediate effect on a person is good. Coca-Cola hits the spot. You got, I dare you to eat just one. See, this is what they're buying. That's what the Rambam writes. He says man should eat everything that's good to his mouth and tongue, kibbehemodomi, like an animal. This is what the Rambam writes. So he didn't bring the Rambam. He says, this is the public. This is Mr. Public. You cannot fool people with taste. You can't sell them something and they're paying money for good taste and it doesn't taste good. That company will immediately go bankrupt. So they cannot defraud the public of that. If they say it tastes good, and if they say that the immediate effect is good, then it has to be. Otherwise they'll be finished right away. So there's no defrauding of the public. But he says, health places, they're already catering to the minds of people. See? They're telling the people that doesn't necessarily taste good, but it's very healthy. It's this vitamin, it's that vitamin, it's good for this, it's good for that, it's good for this. Catering to the seichel of people, then there's plenty of room to defraud them. See? So he says, that's why you must beware of, there's more defrauding going on in the health industry than in the plain food industry. But this is what he was telling me of where the general public basically eats. It's their stomach and mouth that are eating. Then you have some that are interested where their mind should get in the act also. Now this is the Kedusha. And there's a further, there's a Gemara that says the Gemara that says, call me whoever eats without properly washing his hands before, it's as if he comes al isha zona to a prostitute. Mal explains it's the same thing. Because that's a purely physical exercise. That's by a behem also. So what's the difference? The difference is, is heaven forbid? Heaven forbid it should be purely a physical exercise. But a man has to elevate it where it's also his mind is in it, his emotions are in it, it's spiritual. If a person eats without netila, so he's taking the achila, the exercise of eating, and making it into a simple animalistic physical function, and it's ki'ilo bo alisha zaina, would be the same as coming to a prostitute. So this brings kedusha to a person. It's a very nice medrash. The medrash in Vayikra Rabba Perechov Dalet. The medrash states, Rabbin Omar, Moshe Lamelech Shoyle Mertiv Shul Yain. A king had a wine cellar. The Heshi Boha Melech Shemrin. And the king went and he hired guards. Mehen Nazirin and Mehen Shikurim. He hired guards, two types. Some were Nazirim, Nazir that wouldn't touch the stuff. And the others were Shikurim. They were Shikurim, they were alcoholics. The Ace Erev, when it came time that they finished the job, he came to give them their wages. So he gave the Shikurim two portions of the wages and the Nazirim only one. Omru le'adoneinu amelech. So the Nazirim, the Nazirites complained. They said, we watch just like the others. Why is it that they get twice as much? So he said, because the Shikurim, they always drink wine. You never drink it. To them, it was far more difficult to guard the wine than to you. To the malochim, to the angels, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives just little reward for they doing what he tells them. But for man, when it's a mitzvah that he has to fight with and he has to distance himself from, then he gets more. And the Gemara brings, that's why the Medrash brings that when the angels say Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh three times to be sanctified, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes one Kodesh and gives it to the angels, but the other two he gives it to Israel. In other words, the greater the mitzvah is a challenge to physical man, the more difficult the mitzvah is, because physical man cannot distinguish. And there he needs more harchoker. There he needs to distance himself even further. But when he is victorious, so there he gains more reward than the others, and more kedusha, more sanctity. Now, what we're speaking here of the barriers and fences that a person, either the sages have enacted or a person can enact upon himself, like we see here from the Dorim and Shvuos, actually these are things that man does every day in his everyday life. For example, people know when it comes to alcohol, they know one drink but not more. They're placing barriers upon themselves. When it comes to smoking, when it comes to diet, people know I shouldn't go near there because then I'll eat something that I shouldn't be eating. When it comes to drugs, many times today young people are told, try it once. What do you got to lose? Try it. Just do it once. Just do it twice. Just do it a little. Adults know that could be the beginning of the end. Make a barrier, don't touch it. Then you won't come to abusing it. When it comes to anger, many people know that if they allow themselves in certain situations, they lose their temper. Therefore, they don't allow themselves to be in such situations. Or they know if they get angry a little, they lose control of themselves. So therefore, they don't allow themselves to get angry. When it comes to exercise, when it comes to such qualities as procrastination, or organization, or cleanliness, or relationships, or so forth and so on, this is in everyday's life. We are always doing this. We are always doing this. And this is the principle that we are learning from here. Whether a person does it formally or informally, that man needs a harchoka. Man cannot walk too close to the line, even though he's permitted to walk too close to the line. Because when he's too close, he can fall over the line. And therefore, he must keep his distance. Tragically, the wonderful world that we live in today, the world of permissiveness, the world of liberalism, has destroyed that. And they brought churban, destruction to the world. We've spoken about this many times, we can't go into it in length. But very simply, there were times when it was unheard of that there should be mixed schools. All the schools were separate for boys and girls. Then later on came times when there were mixed schools but separate playgrounds. You see, many schools still have above one entrance boys and above and by another entrance girls. From the playgrounds they came in from different entrances. Now from there the world broke down one barrier after the other barrier after the other barrier until it went to mixed dorms. Mixed universities and mixed dorms. Or the media. Today, they're working on totally liberalizing all of the pornography laws because it's constitutional rights. You've got idiots that talk about rights and destroy a world. Or you've got the Chazal say, Chazal say that you're not allowed to sell arms. Not allowed to sell arms. This includes our state of Israel also. It's the Gemara. It's the Rambam. Not allowed to sell arms to goyim, because they will go and destroy people with it. It's archoko. Nothing wrong in the selling of the arms, but it's what it'll lead to. Today the nations have learned that the most lucrative industry in the world is the arms industry. Unfa geld, megman. Money is mutter. Israel also needs money. So we got the Bosnia, and we got Rwanda, and we have an Ethiopia, and you have a Somalia, and you got all over. These were tribal wars that in a month with spears they could kill off 20 people, and now in one day they could kill a million, and so forth and so on. On this subject, I have a good friend, Leslie Herring, in Port Elizabeth, Father Richard, and he sends me the droshes from his brother Rabbi Basil Herring in New York. So I just received, he writes here, he says there was a study in the United States of America on adolescent pregnancies, and Kristen Moore is the director of the Washington-based research organization. And they found out in America close to 27% of all children under the age of 18 live with a single parent who were never married. That means 27%. 27% is one out of every three or four. You take a group of three or four children under 18, and one of them was born out of wedlock. 6 million in America. This number is 70% higher than it was only 10 years ago. It's increased by 70% in 10 years. Then you have more. These are the ones that were born out of wedlock where their mother didn't marry. Then you have those that were born out of wedlock, but eventually the parents married. Amongst those who the parents did get married, the number of divorces has tripled in the last 20 years, from 4 to 17 million adults. Divorce rates in general have doubled in the last 20 years in America. 40% of the children, of these children that live with divorced mothers, live below the poverty line. 66% of those mothers who never married are officially impoverished. Now, they write there that this is the American family. The American family is the foundation of America. The nation is built on families. Clearly the American family is in crisis. The American home on which our society is built is under fundamental attack from within, and the consequences to our social fabric are incalculable. And he says, this doesn't only affect single-parent families. It impacts on everyone, all of us, via rising crime, social unrest, economic dislocation, political upheaval. And then a major New York Times article explained that the Population Council indicates it's not only an American problem, a universal one. In Northern Europe, as many as a third of all births, a third of all births are to unwed mothers. Every group of three babies, one was an unwed mother. This is the world that we live in today that was caused by the breaking down of barriers. The Chazal call that Pirtzu Porzu Gidrei Shol Eilam, breaking down barriers. Now, therefore, our Chazal They have cautioned us in many, many times. David HaMelech said, "Meishim leitzim leYoshev," that I did not sit amongst the evil, even though there's nothing wrong with sitting amongst them. But you'll come to do like they do. Harchek mishochin ra. If there's an evil person living there, don't say, "Look, I'll go there and I won't do anything wrong." Don't go there. When it comes to Loshon Hora, the Chofetz Chaim says, you don't sit with people that speak Loshon Hora, even though you'll say, "I'll sit there, but I won't speak Loshon Hora." Al tischabel arosho. You don't go near arosho. Now, there's one further type of barrier which is very important, and that the Vilna Gaon speaks about in his letter which he wrote to his family when he was planning on going to Eretz Yisrael. And that is where he says, "Hergel nase shilton akol dover." Good habits which are instilled in a person from his early youth. He says that from the greatest guardians of the person are the good habits that he was brought up with. And this is why it's so important that a child must be brought up with good habits. Good habits in derech eretz. Good habits in health, in hygiene, in taking care of himself. Good habits in midas tovos, when it comes to good character traits. He writes that you should be makpid, the parent must be very, very strict with a child when it comes to his derech eretz, how he speaks to everyone, that he should have respect for everyone that's older than him. When it comes to such qualities as shkorim, if he says lies, machlekes, or loshon hora, or foul language, or curses, he says that a parent should not be mevater. He must beat the child, he writes, in such cases. He says when it comes to learning Torah, he says, no, there you have to bribe the child to learn, so he shall enjoy it. You give him good things. But here he says, if you mavater, if you give up on it, you're destroying the child. Because the greatest safeguards that a person has are the good habits that were enshrined in him when he was a youngster. And he says, "Ahergo shilton akoldover." He says, one of the places we learn this from is states called Ascholes Koshes. When you start something new, it's difficult. Why when you start something new is difficult? Because it hasn't become a habit by you yet. It hasn't become a routine. Why when you start something new, when in the beginning it's difficult, later on it's easier? Because it's become a habit, hergo. Hergo nase teva. Hergo becomes part of the person's nature. Then he writes, here he was writing that he was hoping to go to Eretz Yisrael and then he would bring the family over. And he says, in Eretz Yisrael, you have to be very, very careful in these things. In Eretz Yisrael, he says, heaven forbid to say Loshon Hora or Machlekes or so forth. So he says, they have to come with good habits. But then he writes, he says, Ki Arosh Yedea Be'atzma Shera Umar Dakoy. He says, what do you think a Rosh is? What is a wicked person? He says, a wicked person knows that he's on the wrong path. And he knows that what he's doing is wrong. And he knows that it's bitter what he's doing. He doesn't enjoy what he's doing. So why does he do it then? It's difficult for him to stop. Because instead of being enshrined with good hergo, he was enshrined with bad habits. He says, v'zekol odom. So that's something else. He says, the wicked person, he says, the Rosho, he's not doing it because he's not getting that much enjoyment out of it. He knows he's killing himself. What is the drug addict? The drug addict doesn't know what he's doing to himself, to his brains. Or a guy who can't quit smoking, and the doctor said that, heaven forbid, he's eating up his lungs. So, yeah. They know what they're doing is wrong. But they're alcoholic. They know that. But kosher leifresh, they cannot stop it. Because there the hergol, nasateva, the habit has become part of him. So this is another barrier, fence that a person has. At any rate, these are the underlying principles that we learn from this parsha, that there are times when a person must not walk too close to the line of Isa v'heter, of Tevara, but he must move further back, distance himself, harchik. And this is the power of Nedorim and Shvuos, to place additional impositions on us, additional obligations, and additional Isurim. Now, I'd like to conclude, though, that when it comes to this parsha, it's far better, though, if a person can do this without formal Nedorim and formal Shvuos. The Gemara says that even though this was given to a person, but a person should be careful with Nedorim and with Shvuos. First of all, he shouldn't forbade too much on himself. Otherwise, he starts to have too many prohibitions. But also, there is the great chashash that he will come to transgress it. And the Rambam writes like this. He says, Misha Noda, this is at the end in Perek Yud Gimel of Nedorim, Misha Noda Nedorim Kedei Lachenin De Osof. Someone who accepts vows in order to straighten his path, V'sakin Maisof, and to make his deeds better, Harei Zezorez HaMashubach, he is praiseworthy. For example, someone who is Zelo, someone who couldn't stop overeating, and he was making himself sick from it. So, and he couldn't stop. Doctors told him to, and he couldn't stop. So, he took a neder that he's not going to eat meat. He was eating too much meat. He's not going to eat meat for a year or two. Or someone who becomes an alcoholic. He knows he's doing wrong, but he can't stop himself. So, he takes a neder that he won't touch wine for a long time. Or someone who has such a desire for money that he knows it's driving himself crazy. He knows it's wrong. So he takes Nedorim that he's not going to accept any gifts from anyone. And so on. Kol kulan derech avedet Lashem. And this is what the Chazal say, Nedorim Siyog Leprishus. All of this is serving Hashem, and this is what Rabbi Kiva said, Nedorim Siyog Leprishus. Ma'afal pi shehen avoda, even though this is a good way to serve Hashem, le'yarbo od b'nidre isur. But when it comes to adding prohibitions, nidre isur, a person should do it very sparingly. Ve'lei yagol atzmei b'hem. Ela yifreish midvorim sharei lifreish mehem belay neder. It's far better if you make these harchokes without a neder. Omru chachomim, because the sages said kol haneder ki lebon aboma, because someone who makes nedorim, it's as if he's building his own altar, because he's creating new prohibitions for himself that the Torah didn't prohibit. And if he does make Nedorim, it's a mitzvah to annul them in order that he shouldn't come to transgress them. This is Nidrei Isa. But when it comes to Nidrei Hegdish, but when it comes to Nedorim, to give something to Stoker or to give something to Hegdish, then it's a mitzvah to fulfill them. As it states, Nedori Lashem Ashalem, I will give Nedorim to, I will give my Nedorim to Hashem, I will pay. So this is the great principle that we learn from this parsha.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.